Gold.
That's what we like to do on this show. Find the comedy gold. I just like
non-fungible as a word.
It is a good word.
It's a wonderful, it just has a good mouthfeel.
La-di-da, la-di-da, la-la.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with producer Jane Badinair. And it's Thursday, so that means it is time for Public Cervix Announcement, which is our segment, our weekly segment, when we talk about health, specifically women's health, with our friend, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And I have to say, Dr. Lyerly, I was in Madison for the 4th of July, and I was with all my guy friends from high school, of whom their parents have known me since I was, like, in middle school, and everyone's still super tight, and so it's always fun when I get to see not only my friends, but my friends' parents, a lot of whom really like the show, and one of whom, my friend's dad, says that he manages to listen to this segment and appreciates it and tries to do it as maturely as possible.
That's
so
excellent.
Shout out to
you
Jim,
know,
if you're listening right now.
For women. This is for men too. Like, we can all benefit from this information, and men are welcome to call in and, like, ask questions. Let's have a conversation about those things that we can't talk about in, you know, regular society.
And his wife said, she said, you know, we were talking about your show with another couple, and he totally got through the conversation without, you know, being weird.
Good job.
So that is true. If you have any questions for the doctor, 844-967-2789. You can text in, you can call in. And if you're listening to this as a podcast, you can shoot us an email at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. But I wanted to start with kind of both health slash pop culture media, because I, you know, I'm a big serial podcast person who, you know, the original, then S-Town, like, what, you know, they are kind of very good at their podcasts. And so when I saw that there was a new one called Retrievals, I was like, oh, let's check this out without knowing anything about it. And I tried to listen to the first episode and I was like, oof, this is not light listening. So have you listened to it yet?
I listened to the first episode yesterday, and it was really, as a physician, it was really good for me to hear, because I am on the other side of it. So to hear the patient's experience about their egg retrieval. So can I, like,
explain what it is.
So these are women who are seeking fertility treatment, and they were going to a Yale infertility clinic, a very highly reputed clinic. And as they were getting this very painful procedure, where I'm going to get graphic now, where you put a needle in someone's vagina and you insert that needle through the vagina into the ovary under ultrasound, because the ovary is just laid behind the vagina in this cul-de-sac area. So you go in with a giant needle to literally get the eggs out of the follicles. It's very painful. And a nurse was substituting the fentanyl that they were supposed to be getting for pain relief. And she was using the fentanyl and putting saline in the bottle. So they were getting no pain relief with this horribly uncomfortable procedure. And that's part of it. But the other part of it is that these women were educated. One was somebody who actually studies addiction and knows a lot about the opioid epidemic. One was somebody who studies how women's pain is perceived in society. And they were questioning it, but they never pursued it. They just thought that this was all kind of part of their course, and maybe their bodies were defective. So this is about so much more than women who were harmed during a procedure, but also about how we perceive pain in society and what we are expected as women to endure that really is treatable. And if we could talk about it and find some solutions, we could have better outcomes and better answers and better experiences.
Yeah, I was trying to listen to it as I was working out. I was like, this is brutal. Because especially I have girlfriends who are going through egg retrieval right now. And I was like, is it this? I knew it was uncomfortable, but I didn't make it so far to hear that the actual they just weren't actually getting any pain medicine. And that's why for that in this specific story. But I think you're right as far as, I don't think you're right. I know you're right. That the amount of pain that women are just expected to put up with, that men have no idea from menstrual, you know, there's now so many videos that go viral every once in a while with like menstruation cramps simulators. And men trying to wear them and not making it very far to contractions.
Women are like, we turned it up to one.
Yeah. You're like, you're at a five right now. And some women are expected to work when they're at an eight. So you think you could go to work? No? No? But even, you know, I was thinking about this because I was going to put this in our last segment. But Wimbledon, and this isn't pain. This is just a consideration. Wimbledon just this year finally said that women that are getting rid of their all-white rule. So women can wear darker underwear or shorts. Because for years they were like, what if I have my period at Wimbledon and I have to wear white underwear? And like, it's such a small thing, but it's just the expectation of this. I'm experiencing that now even as being pregnant. And I'm a woman, right? Until I've been pregnant, my ability to have real, true empathy for other pregnant people has been limited. Right. Like, it's like, oh, like, how are you feeling? You ask all the cliche questions of people when they are pregnant. But like, until you are, my conversations with other women now have become a lot who've had kids. There's a whole range of things we talk about and we can compare notes on that, like, having never been pregnant before, I wasn't really interested in. And that's as a woman, let alone as a man who's probably really not interested. And so there's this range of experiences that are just never considered, including real pain.
And you also think that when you go into a situation, you're going to do it a certain way. You're going to approach it. Like childbirth is a great example. There's so many women who come in and they're like, oh, I'm going to do it naturally. I'm not going to need any pain medicine. I'm not going to have an epidural. And in the process, they tend to change their mind as they start to actually experience what's happening. And it is such a personal decision. There are many women who just like truck through it because that is what they are determined to do. And that's great. But it's so amazing to have options for women who are experiencing childbirth, including epidurals, because man, what a game changer that is for many women.
I will absolutely be taking an epidural. Let it be known on record right now.
If I had ever had a child, I would have asked for every available drug instant immediately before we even get started.
And so are you going to listen to the whole, are you going to listen to the whole retrievals series?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And as I'm listening to the patients talk about how they were reporting, like during the procedure, and this should not be a painful procedure. If you have the right pain medication, you should like take a nice nap and wake up and feel pretty good afterwards. It should not be painful. And they were reporting it. And the nurses and the doctors were like, oh, you know, hang in there. We're almost done. Your body must not be reacting appropriately to the fentanyl. And they weren't giving them any answers. And it just made me think about, how would I approach this? How would I address my patient's pain? And, you know, I was considering like, well, there are other options. You don't have to give them fentanyl. You could try Dilaudid. You could try oral medications, especially for people who are coming back for another procedure and they've got this horrible thing in the rearview mirror and they're trying to like steel themselves for another awful experience. How can you change things up to make them feel more confident that it's going to be better? So I think listening to it is really making me think about how I take care of my patients.
But Dr. Lyerly, why is this their assumption that we women don't know their own level of pain? Are we all just hysterical? Are we still, you know, women are hysterical and don't know what they actually think because they have ovaries? I just don't get it. That we are we're not believed.
It's uterus. I mean, that's the root of the word hysterical. Hist is the uterus, and the cure for hysteria is to put a pregnancy in the uterus, and that should solve the problem.
And so that kind of segues into the next topic that will probably spill over into the next segment. Because a new state-by-state study shows that the rate of mothers dying during pregnancy or in the first year after giving birth has more than doubled over the last two decades nationwide. In every single state, blue states, red states, it's gotten worse. Do you have any, like, why is this happening? We were just talking about how we spend the most money than any country on health, and yet our outcomes do not reflect that amount of investment. And the same thing can be said about our maternal mortality rates. Absolutely.
Yeah, and those are not small margins. We spend the most money by far, and we have the worst outcomes by far. Yeah. Our maternal mortality is twice of Canada's maternal mortality. And when we talk about maternal mortality, we're talking about dead moms. We're not talking about harmed moms who have lifetime implications for what's happening with their health. So this is a huge ripple effect that affects not just the women, but also their families and their communities. You know, you lose a mom, then you've got a baby who doesn't have a mom and a dad, a family, a community that's trying to figure out how to cope with this giant loss. So this is a huge problem. The focus of this study was specifically on underrepresented populations, specifically Black and Brown people. We know in Wisconsin, this is so crazy to me. So the rate of Black moms dying associated with a pregnancy is twice that, 2 to 3 times that for white moms across the country. In Wisconsin, it's double that. It's 5 times. Black moms do not have good outcomes in Wisconsin, and neither do Black babies. And we've got to figure that out because that is just unbelievable.
And I'm sure it's more complex than just this, but is it partially because of what we were just talking about, of just medical professionals not believing women when they say something's wrong?
That is definitely a big piece of it. There's the whole systemic racism problem. It's cultural incompetence. It's lack of access to healthcare. I mean, let's make sure we talk in the next segment about postpartum Medicaid extension and how we could fix that problem, because what a disaster that has been in Wisconsin. That would be so easy. 43 other states have expanded Medicaid so that women can receive it for the full year postpartum, but we're one of seven that we're just crossing our arms and saying, meh.
Now you get 2 months.
Come on.
2 months after that baby you have to have. All right, we got to take a break. This is As Goes Wisconsin, our weekly segment, Public Service Announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. If you have any questions for the doctor, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
People go just where they will. I never noticed them until I got this feeling that it's later than it seems. Doctor, my eye.
Whoa! They say the bigger the headache, the bigger the pill, baby. Call me the big pill. Dr. Funkenstein, the disco fiend with the monster sound, the cool goo with the bum transplant.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Jane Van Ayer, what are we listening to?
That's Dr. Funkenstein by Parliament.
Oh, got it.
We have our own Dr. Funkenstein.
That's a good nickname for you, Dr. Lyerly.
I still love OBGYN.
Yes, OBGYN is pretty good. It's you just have to not trip over it. OBGYN. We can get used to it. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. This is our weekly segment, Public Cervix Announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, where we talk about women's health, health in general. We take your questions and we go through some health headlines. So if you have any questions for the doctor, 844-96-PARTY. That's 844-967-2789. And after in the previous segment, we were talking about maternal mortality and how bad it is here. And, you know, in the study that came out, like, because I keep coming back to this attack on DEI programs across the board, both at the university level, you know, there's these strings attached in the city of Milwaukee. And this is part of that, right? There are programs set up in Milwaukee right now to try to address the maternal mortality rate of Black women in Milwaukee and how much 5 times worse it is for them than white women. And that is something that they're talking about. Nope, we're not going to. That's the kind of funding that we want to cut. And it's like to have a certain politician say how embarrassed he is because of the UW's DEI programs, and yet he's the longest standing speaker of the House or the assembly in Wisconsin ever, and he gave himself that award. And he's not embarrassed about these kind of health outcomes for certain Wisconsinites. That's the thing. It's like, how can you look at our education, our health, our incarceration rates, and be, and like the disproportionate rates for people of color in this state and not be embarrassed by that, but yes, be embarrassed by the DEI programs. Sorry, that was a diatribe.
No, it was good though. It was important. And I think it's really important to recognize that expanding postpartum Medicaid, as I said earlier, 43 states have done this. Only 7 haven't. So clearly this is the way to go. And here in Wisconsin, this is not a new effort. We've been trying to do this for years. We have a giant bipartisan coalition. This is one area where all of the folks, like, you know, all of the Catholics and the anti-contraception people and the people who differ with the OBGYNs and the healthcare providers on many issues, we all agree on this. Like, almost everybody agrees that we should expand postpartum Medicaid. The biggest barrier is Robin Voss. And it's because he wants people to get off of Medicaid as soon as possible. So if we extend it, we'll be keeping people on Medicaid. So if we can get past Robin Voss, people, call your legislators. There are 2 bills right now. This was taken out of the budget by the Republicans, but it was reintroduced as a bill. So there's a bill in the Assembly right now. There's a bill in the Senate right now. It was advanced. It was unanimously approved in committee. So there is momentum here and there is potential here. We could make a difference. And if you use your voice and call your legislator and say, I want you to expand postpartum Medicaid, we could get this across the line.
Because that's the thing I think a lot of people don't understand. And I actually don't know if it would be, if it's different in any other state. If you know, please correct me. But the if the goal is to get people off of Medicaid, why is there not a gradual, like a gradual shift from you have it, you don't have it? Because everything I've ever heard about people's need to be on Medicaid is that they turn down promotions, they turn down more hours, they know exactly how much money they need to make in order to keep their benefits, because if they make $1 more, they lose their benefits. And so there is no incentive to all of a sudden be paying out of pocket for health insurance only to be making $10 more or whatever, you know, incremental amount you get from like moving up in your job. And so this like cliff doesn't actually help what Voss wants to do, which is to like incentivize people to get off Medicaid. It just tries to make it harder, right?
It's just like so many other things in society. I mean, I know when I had 2 little kids, like babies at home, we made a decision for me to stop working and stay home because it would cost more to put the kids in childcare than it would be for me to stay home and take care of them. So then I was out of the workforce because we couldn't afford to have me in the workforce, because the way that our society values women and children and families is by squeezing them as much as we can instead of supporting them. The GOP says in words, we love babies, but in actions, they hate babies. I mean, they clearly don't want to support important policies that create the space for people to build their families. And Medicaid is just another piece of that complicated puzzle.
And by the way, I have my favorite Chuckle Meister's phone number, Robin Voss, 608-237-9163. That is 608-237-9163. Give him a call today at his office in Madison and say hello.
What if I just, instead of giving out the talk of text line, just started giving up Robin Voss's number all the time?
He needs to hear from us. He needs to know.
It's 844-96-PARTY. What is it?
Write it down. 608-237-9163. Call now.
All right. Okay. Can you stick around? Because there's another topic I want to talk about that seems appropriate since you looked like you're sitting in a very sunny, hot place that's not Wisconsin. Can you stick around for another segment?
It's hot in here. Oh, yeah.
All right. All right, when we come back, how hot is too hot for your body to function? Could be a relevant conversation in the near future. Stick around. We're going to extend this public cervix announcement into the next segment with Dr. Kristen Lierley. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The bigger the headache, the bigger the pill. They call me the big pill.
Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are. This is an extended version of public cervix announcement for this Thursday, July 6th, with Dr. Kristen Lierley. Because I wanted to get to this topic, because you look like you're somewhere very sunny. Not that it's not nice here today. It is 73, mostly sunny in Waukesha, but you look like you're somewhere a little bit hotter.
I am working on the Navajo reservation this week, and I'm in northern Arizona, and I saw the forecast for Arizona next week, and no joke, it is in the mid-hundred teens all week long.
Wow. How's it feel?
I've never seen anything like that. It's not that hot right now. When I arrived yesterday, it was 110, and it was oppressive. I hadn't even been there for an hour, and two people said, but it's a dry heat.
You know, just use that excuse, I guess.
And does that make a difference? I mean, medically, is it easier to handle if it's not so humid?
Apparently, so there's a new study, because I found this morning, of basically like how hot is too hot, because the 4th of July was one of the hottest days on record nationally. So like we are getting hotter days, and certainly in places like Texas and the heat wave that's been happening there. Arizona is always, I've always been told, Arizona summers are basically like Wisconsin winters. Like, you just don't go outside because it gets so hot. Mm-hmm. But it looks like there's a new study as far as like what happens to the human body in these temperatures. And at least what I read, and doctor, you can correct me if I'm wrong, it does, because of our body's ability to sweat in humidity, because it's so saturated, it actually does impact that. And so humidity actually is worse for your health as far as your function of sweating, but I'll let you say more about it since you're the doctor.
Well, yeah. And when it gets to a certain temperature, your body, your metabolism is so revved up trying to cool your body down. Like, think about your car. You know, if you've got a car and you are pushing it and it's really hot and the air conditioning is on, like, your car can only take so much. Your body is kind of the same way. At some point, it stops being able to cool itself. And it seems like that point is somewhere in the mid-hundred teens. So 700 people a year die of heat-related injuries and illnesses. And it's going to be really important for us in these hot July days to be smart. Stay inside or in the shade in the peak time of day when it's so hot outside. Stay hydrated. Be smart. Don't go outside and go for a bike ride or go for a vigorous run, because even if you're in great shape and you think you can do it, it's still not great. Wait until it starts to cool down or go early in the morning. Just, you know, use common sense.
And what are some of the things that happen to your body, like that they found in this study when it's too hot? Like what is actually scientifically happening biologically?
Everything, your machinery, your metabolism just ramps up to try to cool you down, to try to help you sweat and to breathe more. Think about a dog when it's hot out and you see them panting, your body is doing kind of the same thing. You know, on the inverse side of that is like if I deliver a baby who isn't doing well initially, we cool that baby. We try to slow down that baby's metabolism because we don't want all of those internal protective processes to start causing damage. And that has been shown to really impact them well long term. So when you look at the heat piece of it, you really want to try to keep your body within that normal range where your body knows how to function, because you can cause permanent damage.
So good to know. Hydrate. Stay in the air conditioning if you have it. Stay in the shade.
Beer does not count as hydration.
Beer does not count as...
Beer does not count. Neither does coffee.
Nope. I feel like there's debate on that. Every once in a while, I feel like I see something where it's like the water intake is still there, but it's not actually dehydrating you with coffee.
Well, I mean, the water intake is definitely in there, but you need more volume. Like a cup of coffee, fine. Don't worry about that. But like you cannot drink a giant iced coffee and expect that to be appropriately hydrating you. Soda too. You need to drink water. I mean, truly water. If you're going to be drinking large volumes, your body needs water.
Yeah. So that's good to know. All right. So then the final topic that I wanted to touch on today was the, where is it? Hormone therapy. Maybe not great news with the some potential ramifications of doing hormone therapy.
I'm glad that you picked this one because I think it's important to talk about it. So this giant Danish observational study came out that showed that even women who use hormone therapy for a short period of time can have cognitive decline later in life. And there's been a long-running discussion about whether hormone therapy actually makes dementia worse or better long-term. And the data at this point really is not very clear. Ultimately, we need more information. The problem with this study is that it's observational. We talked about this last time. Observational studies cannot ascribe causation. You can't say that something caused something else from an observational study. You have to do a randomized controlled study to be able to prove that. And there are a couple really good randomized control trials out there that suggests that hormone therapy does not increase the risk of dementia down the road. So ultimately, the most important thing that you can do for yourself is just figure out where you're at. What are your symptoms? What are the possible treatments? Is it hormone therapy? Is it environmental therapy? Is it diet? Is it exercise? So many different things. And then individualize your treatments to your own personal symptoms.
All right. That's good to know. All right. Well, my last question has nothing to do with health.
Can I just make an observation?
Sure.
You, every subsequent week that we talk, because I can see you, you get a little bit more like relaxed in your chair. You're leaning back a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more as you are running out of space there. And then you sat up and you got real close to the mic. I'm guessing that your rectus muscles are not like in the rectus position because your belly is protruding.
It is protruding. There is no mistake at this point that certainly I am pregnant and I am trying to get comfortable in most times. But yeah, I did notice. I looked at myself in the live stream and go, I'm really low in this chair right now. I should probably sit back up instead of basically be fully reclined. but my other question that has nothing to do with health, are you going to join Meta Threads?
I don't know. The last thing I need is another social media platform, but I don't know. We'll see. One of my colleagues who is very prolific on Twitter asked me that last week. Twitter's so rotten. It's really rotten. Like for me, when I talk about women's healthcare stuff, I always get,
of course. I mean, I've seen some of the responses you get as far as being an OBGYN who's very outspoken as far as reproductive rights, reproductive health. And that's part of the reason why I ask, because again, you've no announcement, but exploring possibilities of a potential congressional run. And I'm curious as far as the social media platforms, because I joined last night. And I'm hopeful.
Wow.
I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately. And so we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But it's got like in 4 hours, it got 5 million new users. So if there's anything that could probably disrupt Twitter besides Twitter disrupting itself, it could be this platform.
Yes, and I love that it's linked to Instagram and Facebook. That just makes it so much more cohesive and easier and less time consuming. So yeah, I think I'm going to end up exploring.
You'll
it.
Probably end up happened. There. It's probably for a little while. It may just like deepen the echo chambers we all live in. As far as all the new blue verified people, like Elon fanboys that will stay on Twitter,
what and the heck?
And everyone yes. else who's looking for an escape from that will flock to Threads. So it may not be actually better for our town hall and like actually having a conversation, but it won't feel as dumpster fiery.
But I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg
right now.
I'm choosing
between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution. You know, it's just, anyway.
Well, the joke I made this morning is like, I can still post my TikTok. It's just a new spot for me to post my TikToks. So.
That's true. More
TikTok
exposure.
Still lives on. There's not banned yet.
Tom from Cedarburg called with a question that he said he is too embarrassed to ask. So I'm going to ask him I will ask for him. He wanted to know about, apparently, I can't remember specifically, but a couple weeks ago we talked about eating the placenta after you give birth. Is that a is that a thing? Is that a good thing?
We never came back to that.
Yeah, we never got
we
back around
about,
to that.
We talked
and he
about
said,
it.
I love this. He said, I listen because I'm really trying to learn
I
women's
love that.
Things.
We love that.
Oh, Tom. Thank you, Tom. That's amazing. So some people do. So what they do is, if it's a healthy placenta, they can dry it and grind it up and encapsulate it. And then they take it like a nutritional supplement. Now, I have to say that there is no medical evidence for this, but some people do believe that it helps to ward off postpartum depression. So there are providers out there who do this. I am concerned about it because if people have postpartum depression, I want them to be treated in a way where I can follow them, yeah. where they're getting like, you know, evidence-based treatments. And I also don't know how safe it is to eat your placenta. So, but people do that. People do a lot of crazy things with their placentas because it's all part of the whole birth process. And sometimes we have an unusual attachment to things related to our birth process.
But not a lot of scientific, like controlled studies on placenta, like doing stuff with placenta post birthing it.
Nope.
Does that surprise you for like in the wellness goopy Gwyneth Paltrow world that there hasn't been someone who's been like, we should probably study this?
No, because where's the money in it? You know, it's dollars that drive everything. We run out of things like penicillin and normal saline and things that we desperately need for so many patients because there's no money in the development and production of those things. So, I mean, if it's your placenta and all you're doing is drying it and encapsulating it, who's going to make money off of that? So nobody's going to do that study.
Well, that's depressing.
Yes, it is.
So
but
all of the studies, all of the random studies that I hear about that it's like, oh, like this new study found this. There's someone who is monetarily invested in that study, and that's the only reason it got done. That's what you're telling me today?
For the most part, yeah. Like expensive chemotherapy
curiosity.
Drugs. No, you would think if we had more government funded studies, it's the industry funded studies because industry wants to sell a product.
And to clarify, Dr. Lyerly, you have four sons. You gave birth to four sons. You did not eat any of those placentas.
I didn't eat any of the placentas, but I did take them home and bury them under newly planted trees.
How's the tree doing?
And my husband.
How are the trees doing?
Great. They're awesome. Our cherry tree had cherries the very first year. My husband was so concerned that some animal was going to come and try to dig the placenta up from under the tree, but that did not happen. And we got cherries. So my N of 3 on that study was positive. Recommended.
So anecdotal evidence of your study is maybe don't eat it, definitely plant it.
that was my personal experience.
Great.
Yeah, that's not my doctor advice. That's my mom experience.
I'll have to let my mom know because she's really been pushing me on this garden. So we'll see what gets planted now in October and what blooms in the spring next year along with my infant.
And thank you for giving me a couple promos for the next
of
days.
We now have our new promo for public cervix announcement for the next month. All right. Well, any other notes to end on today, Dr. Lyerly?
Oh, man. You know, it's summer. Like, stay hot or stay cool out there. It's going to be hot. And also protect yourself from mosquitoes. There's been a lot of talk about malaria spreading, and malaria is not the only thing. You know, we talked about Lyme disease with ticks, lots of other things like that. So protect yourself from those bugs because they can really cause problems.
All right. Well, we will see you again next week. Stay cool in the desert. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, always so fun to have you. We'll talk to you next week. All right, we'll be back in a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Too hot to handle.
Oh, no, how much I really love you. You'll never know how much I really care. Do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Whoa, whoa, closer.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And on this day, in 1957, Paul McCartney, who was 15.
Wow.
I didn't realize they were that young, but...
He was the baby.
Well, not John Lennon was only 16.
Oh, man.
They met at a garden party at St. Peter's Woolton's Parish Church in Liverpool. And it's been called a chance encounter that changed the course of history. So it's a reminder to put yourself out there because you never know who you're going to meet and end up forming a rock band with and sell 600 million albums globally.
And change the music world forever.
Yeah, exactly. But I did not realize they were only 15 and 16 when they met.
It's amazing to me when you look at a lot of artists, how especially musicians, who started really young. You know, started writing songs when they were 12. And it's just remarkable.
Well, and it's also interesting to think of just how much some... whatever it is, musician, maybe an athlete, math person, like as I am accumulating, you know, all of the books, like I already got a couple different books on things to do with your infant. So that's like developmental things and like exercises and stuff,
sure.
Like beyond just tummy time. And it explains what it's developing in their brain. It's all stuff that's good to do. But, you know, all the educational toys in the world and all of the stuff that you do as a like hyper involved parent. And ultimately, to a certain extent, like, geniuses are going to be geniuses. And it doesn't really matter, like...
Can you craft one?
Savants are going to be savants.
Right.
And, you know, it's funny that you just said that of, like, how young some of... especially for musicians, that it's just, like, they just got it. There's a six or seven-year-old on TikTok who creates music. So, like, he all of the software and everything he knows... He also plays instruments and everything... But his parents will help him cut together videos of him making songs, and he's six. And the way that he just knows that, like, the certain, like, synthesizer that he wants to add, and, like, he knows the names of all these things, and he knows specifically where he wants to add this type of thing to this song. And it's unbelievable to watch a literal child come up with this. And it's like, oh, I mean, there's no way you can... You can encourage it,
right.
You can support it, but there's no way there's something that his parents did to make this kid be the next probably best songwriter of another generation,
unless
he burns out.
He's a prodigy.
Yeah.
He's a prodigy.
And so, but yeah, to think about 15 and 16-year-old Paul McCartney and John Lennon being like, hey. It's like the scene in Hamilton, and like when it's, hey,
how you doing?
So yeah, so I thought that was a little fun fact for history on this day. But yeah, I'm trying to think of other stuff that we didn't get to today. We did not have a sports update. We usually have that on Thursday. But I will say some sports news that you may or may not have heard. The other Lopez brother is coming back.
That's great.
I was not here. He had already been. He had already left the team by the time I got back to Milwaukee, so I didn't get to watch as many of the antics of the Lopez twins. But the Milwaukee Bucks took another step in rounding out their roster for the 2023-24 season by agreeing to bring back Robin Lopez. And his hair, I think, is still long. I think he is still very goofy. I think we can probably expect lots of antics between him and the media.
Our friend Dan Schaefer is very heavily invested in the Bucks.
Yes.
So I'm sure he has lots of thoughts about it.
And he'll be here on Tuesday. So we'll have to bookmark a little time to make sure to ask him about that. Any other news stories catch your eye as we round out today's show?
I'm just still wrapping my brain around the whole burying the placenta under a tree and sprouting cherries. That's how you could monetize the placenta thing.
Give it to some nurseries?
No, well, sell it. Sell placenta-fed cherries.
Placenta-fed cherries.
Right. So you plant it, and then you put a cherry tree on top of it, and that's the magical thing.
But this also reminded me of the season 2 episode where Keeley and Roy... Rebecca's father dies and they all go to the funeral and Roy's like, Keely's like, I want you to bear me under a fruit tree. And then when you're taking a bite of your apple, you know that it was me.
It's part of me.
That's exactly where my mind went to, is like decomposing bodies, actually feeding fruit trees. But, you know, beginning of life, end of life.
Hey, it's a great circle.
Hey.
It's a great circle.
All right. Well... That's another good Thursday.
It's been great. Thank you so much for all the calls and all the texts. And don't forget, if you have the app now, the Civic Media app, you can text right from that, right?
You can text us right from that.
A couple of people
did today. You can always text, obviously, 844-967-2789. But if you are on the app, you can always just text or call from the app, which is very, very convenient,
yes.
Along with, you know, I will say, sometimes when I'm listening to 540 on the actual car radio, there's spots throughout southeast Wisconsin that
sure.
It's like, that's a little staticky, that's a little fuzzy. Not the case on the app.
Always get us crystal clear.
Always crystal clear.
And any of our shows.
Yep. And so highly recommend downloading the app. It's free. It's updated. It's super useful. And eventually, not yet. You're going to be able to get our podcasts on there. But for now, if you would like to listen to our podcast, if you miss any part of the show, want to go back, want to share with your friends, you can always do that at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen. But you can also find it wherever you already get podcasts. So Spotify, Apple, Google, Stitcher.
Take us with you.
Maybe there's a new thing. Threads.
Flitcher.
all right. But for that, for today, we will wrap up the show. Stick around for our noon newscast. And then after that, we got Town Call with Luke and William Walter. I don't know what the topic of the day is, but it's always good.
It is.
They always have really good, interesting calls. You are always welcome to be part of that conversation as well. They are very eager to take your call and get your input on whatever the topic of the day is.
Let's have some dialogue.
Exactly. But as for us, we will be back tomorrow. Like I said, Phil Nee from WRCE will be here at 10:30 tomorrow. We also, I don't know off the top of my head. We're going to have a great show, though, because we always have a great show. That's it. Have a great day. This is Asgos, Wisconsin.
I've known a secret for a week or two. Nobody knows, just we two. Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Oh, closer. Let me whisper in your ear. Say the words you long to hear. I'm in love with you. Oh.